Blog Talk Radio.
In the early 1960s, the CIA began Operation MKUltra. They were trying to find the perfect mind control weapon through a psychoactive drug known as lysergic acid diethylamide, or LSD. The CIA knew very little about LSD in the 60s. It was invented in 1947 by Dr. Albert Hoffman. He found that it had a remarkable effect on the mind. The CIA thought they could keep the LSD phenomenon secret. However, its introduction to society inspired an entire generation of people who were soon to unite in a worldwide movement, a psychedelic revolution known as the 1960s.
Well, welcome to another eye-popping edition of Cosmic Horizons, streaming out live to the world and beyond. From our studios just north of Toronto, we got an action-packed 30 minutes planned for all you internet listeners. We have Timothy Spearman, who is a playwright, author, and he's going to give his predictions of 2019 and what he thinks. That little clip was about CIA involvement and the development of LSD, which was a very predominant drug in the 70s and 80s, and how the, I would say, military machine has some MK Ultra mind control through this LSD experiments, and how the government has developed all sorts of other meticulous ways of getting out to the public. So with us, on a more upbeat note, is Tim Spearman. We're going to talk about Tim, about what's going on in the world, and what he sees like 2019 for it. Well, hello, Tim. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Nice to be with you. I can't think of a better man to share the new year with. It's nice to be on your show again. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Tim. And I just played a little clip about the mind control MK Ultra and how the government developed this drug and seemed to distribute it to the populace. And considering that it is flu season, and everybody wants you to get the flu vaccine. I've been told numerous times at work, you should get the flu vaccine. But I guess if people knew what was really inside that vaccine, I don't think that they would take it. What's your opinion of this, vaccine program, Tim?
Well, I invite anyone to go to the Center for Disease Control website and look at the ingredients contained within a standard vaccine, and you will be able to see for yourself. When I read the ingredients, it reminded me of Shakespeare's play Macbeth, because the three sisters, the three witches, were making a witch's brew of the entrails and animal parts of various animals and throwing them into this massive cauldron and generating a black magic stew of super-powered, I guess, some potion that would be able to create a hex or a curse upon someone's psyche through the admixture of all these substances. So when I saw the ingredients and how they filtered many of them through monkeys' organs, and that they had all these strange ingredients contained within, including apparently some substance derived from aborted human fetus tissue, and other horrors of almost indescribable nature. And I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't dismiss the notion that there is some kind of witchcraft going on here. So that is one worrying aspect of it, of course. And then the other extremely worrying aspect is the so-called sterilizing agent called Timerosal, which they claim to have removed now from the vaccines, but I'm sure they've replaced it with something even worse. It's Timerosal is a combination of mercury, formaldehyde, and aluminum, and their claim is that it's in small doses, and so there's no real danger to the human organism to actually have these substances placed into your bloodstream. Well, I beg to differ profoundly, because aluminum and mercury tend to catalyze one another's poisonous neurotoxin properties so that they're amplified. And in addition, this mercury turns or converts to methyl, ethyl mercury, and it remains in your bloodstream, and the body doesn't expel it because it's conditioned to accept it because it converts to ethyl mercury. And I remember reading about this some years ago, and I was quite concerned, and I thought, wow, I mean, to think of all of those heavy metal poisons going through the little cavities of your brain, and how many neuron receptors are being damaged in the process. And so I'm strongly against vaccines for a variety of reasons. I went to my local MPP and had them sign the waiver that I downloaded from the Health Canada website, and I submitted it at the school where my daughter was attending. And at the time, they were giving them meningitis vaccinations and hepatitis, I believe, hepatitis B vaccinations, which were given to middle school students. And I didn't want my daughter to be getting any of this. And unfortunately, that worked out. They weren't able to vaccinate her, and Lord only knows what the consequences might be to the health of all those who did receive the multiple vaccinations that were dispensed during that period.
A lot of people say that's part of the depopulation progress. When we go back all the way to Henry Kissinger, and his statement of depopulation of the world, which he says that the world has too many people right at that present time that Kissinger was in power. Do you believe this what people talk about, the Illuminati and depopulation of the world, of the masses, the useless eaters, so they like to call them?
Yeah, I mean, I've read the Memorandum 200, Henry Kissinger's memorandum that suggested that the overpopulation in the developing world was the greatest national security threat to the United States. And it led to Robert McNamara petitioning Congress for $10 million in funding to develop what became known as the Special Cancer Virus Program, which led to the development of HIV. Robert Gallo was one of the scientists that was employed at Fort Detrick, which is a CIA-owned bioweapons facility in Maryland. And he, of course, is credited with the discovery of HIV/AIDS. Well, the creator would naturally be the discoverer because he was one of the lab technicians that was involved in the project to develop it. So 93 million vials of smallpox vaccine, which was dispensed in sub-Saharan Africa, a story that was covered by the Guardian newspaper in London, England, exposed the fact that 93 million vials of that smallpox vaccine had been tainted with HIV/AIDS. And so when the World Health Organization launched its so-called experimental smallpox vaccination trial in the late 70s and early 80s, there was no need for it because they had already announced that they had eradicated smallpox as a disease threat through a successful campaign of vaccination over a quarter of a century period. So why the need for this so-called experimental smallpox vaccination program? I've read some alarming claims by William Cooper in Behold a Pale Horse of a program to infect prisoners in the prison population in New York, San Francisco, and four other American cities under the auspices of a character by the name of Dr. Shmunez, who seems to have had some rather shady connections to the Church of Rome. And it's a haunting account that's given in Behold a Pale Horse. And since Bill Cooper paid dearly for the information he disclosed to the public with two attempted assassination attempts involving his vehicle, where he was driven off the road. And on the second occasion, he became crippled by the accident. And I believe he had a prosthetic, an artificial leg. And then later he was involved in a shootout with the local sheriff's department on his ranch property. And knowing the man, he probably saw it as him just defending his property and his person against an unwanted incursion in which he was treated wrongfully as a criminal, and so he was just defending himself in a last stand against the bullying activities of the local sheriff's department.
Well, you know, Tim, a lot of people think this is a lot of myth, I guess, with the Illuminati and the D-World population. But from all the evidence that I've read and all the research that you've done, it's a real thing, and I don't think it's going away. And which brings me to mind all this hoopla about Trump and this wall that he wants to build in Mexico and shutting down most of the government for going on 8 days now. And I really think that that it's not the wall that they're going to keep the immigration from Mexico out, because let's face it, they have ways, there's probably tunnels underneath that to come up rather than going a wall. They just dig the tunnels, or the tunnels are already there. And to shut down the whole U.S. economy for 9 days, got to be a big blow to the economy, does it not?
Indeed, and one wonders what the motive for all of this is. A wall can be seen in two different ways. It can be seen as a defensive measure to keep outsiders out for the defense of those within, but it can also be seen as a prison wall to keep those within confined. and to restrict their freedoms. And with the addition of checkpoints being established so that their movements can be tracked and monitored within the confines of that prison state, you have a police state on a haunting level, which one would associate with North Korea or the former Soviet Union or perhaps communist red China in its worst days back in the Mao period. So is this what's coming? Yeah, I would say that this is exactly what they're attempting to orchestrate. And I do believe that they're going to create some kind of pandemic disease threat. And it could be Ebola or something of that horrific nature, which would induce such panic in the population that they'd be inclined, just on the basis of the psychological operations being worked against them, to comply with anything they're instructed to do. So if they're told that they must report to receive their vaccine, and if they don't, then there could be serious consequences, including the possibility of incarceration or quarantine. They have bills to pay, of course. They have children to feed. They have families to take care of. So they certainly wouldn't want to jeopardize their jobs, and they're likely to cave in the face of such bullying tactics, because they've basically created an economy in which most people are living from paycheck to paycheck anyway. So you don't exactly have a lot of savings to cushion you in times of trouble. So there's usually a likelihood of complete compliance with any government-authorized measure. Now, I noticed that when I was at school last month, there was an alert on my phone. And, of course, everyone in the office shared the same alert, where they were testing the alert emergency system. So that tells you that they have something planned and that they're going to announce something through people's cell phones and other communication devices. And they're going to be instructed and given a series of mandated orders to follow, and they must comply. And what is this? What's the nature of this emergency going to be? Well, I'm sure they've already got it well planned. And they'll also make it so that those that agree to allow themselves to be microchipped, so that all of their medical records, vaccine records, and financial records and other records can be kept up to date, so that whenever they pass through a checkpoint, they will be viewed as, a manageable segment of the population that can be properly tracked. So that anyone who wants to fly beneath the radar and doesn't wish to have the microchip will just simply be told, well, the harvest wasn't that great this year. There are food shortages. And if you would like to ensure that you and your family are fed and that you have your quota of rations for today, we strongly recommend that you sign up for the chip straight away, so that you and your family can be assured of 3 square meals and not go hungry. So there's all kinds of pressure tactics, and they'll use absolutely each and every one of them to corral the population, cajole them, and bully them into compliance.
Well,
Tim,
we're followed a lot, everything from cameras to the intersections, to devices at your home, such as the smart TV, and these devices that say, so-and-so, let me hear the latest 1950s, so-and-so, turn on the lights. And we all know the name of the company. It starts with a G, and we won't mention it on this radio show, but they're all, I think they gather all this information because they know your preferences and what you like, what you don't like, the smart TV, and it's all carried on to this Project Echelon, which gains all the information from all these people. It segregates it, and it sends out flags to certain people.
No, I have no doubt that that's the case. Of course, they've been prying into all of our privacy for a very long time. When I was in England, I was a night nurse for a period of time, and in the seniors facility where I worked, there was a woman who was responsible for steaming open people's mail during the Second World War, and she said it was like tuning into a soap opera, Family Affairs or their love affairs, and get my next installment just by steaming open a letter. So with the threat of war and the need for surveillance in times of war comes the need. But wherein is the need when there's no longer a state of war? Does that mean that they no longer maintain such practices, that they discard them when the war is over? Of course not. Once the war grants them pretext to invade people's privacy, they will do it willy-nilly for all eternity. They're never going to stop. And now they have greater technology to pry into your every nook and cranny and hiding place and invade your privacy like never before, so that you absolutely don't have any privacy. I mean, it would be nice to think that you could move to the Rocky Mountains and find a cave, but they'll be able to, even through GPS or some other means, be able to track you even in a rural area, as you saw depicted in the novel 1984, Winston and his lover were not even able to gain privacy when they went for a romantic excursion into the country. So they were under constant surveillance. So this is where we're at. Yes.
Do you see anything great on the horizon for 2019? What sign is this in the Chinese zodiac that we were talking a little bit before the show?
Well, it's the year of the pig. It's supposed to be auspicious, you know. It's supposed to be a good year for making money. There's a possibility that with the formation of these blockchains and these cryptocurrencies, there could be a great liberation take place where people are able to generate wealth through a means that has never been at their disposal before, and will also manage to evade taxation, and there will be advantages to being able to use these cryptocurrencies. I know that some of them, like OneCoin, are attempting to negotiate deals with MasterCard so that they can be used for credit purposes. And there's also certain companies that will honor certain cryptocurrencies and allow you to make purchases with them. I have invested in OneCoin. It's received good reviews and bad reviews. And, well, when all the reviews are in, that's all I can say is I'll have to see how it performs when the day comes and whether I made a worthy investment or an unworthy one. But I think there's hope with the emergence of this type of option, which will help a lot of people gain a more prosperous and a higher status financially, which would improve their quality of life dramatically.
Now, a lot of the jury's out with a lot of this cryptocurrency. Some people say nobody knows the origins or nobody knows its founder. And there's a lot of suspicion and a lot of, misuse of this cryptocurrency. And I haven't seen anybody actually cash any cryptocurrency in to have, like, real cash in their hand. I don't know too much about the cryptocurrency, but I've yet to see if you got so much cryptocurrency. I want to see it, take it to a bank, cash it in, put the money in my hand.
Agreed. So I'm with you on that. The jury is still out, and so I'm biding my time and waiting. I'm told that come January, I will be able to sell my one coin currency that I can sell them and convert them and so forth. I don't intend to do that, but I may get some feedback from my sponsor that got me involved in the whole cryptocurrency game and see what he advises. But I'm actually waiting so that when I move to another country, which I would prefer not to name, a country that doesn't have any capital gains tax, I hope to cash in on whatever cash cow I have at that time. That's the plan.
Well, that's a great plan. And how do you see the economy of Canada for 2019?
Well, we have this growing political debacle with China that emerged with Huawei and the controversy surrounding this multinational conglomerate that's a communications giant, and there are serious allegations of spying and spyware being employed in this technology. So it's had diplomatic fallout, and obviously there's been serious political consequences which are likely to affect the economy of both China and Canada. And since we're very close to the United States, it's quite possible that this could precipitate something that is devastating in terms of the impact that it could have on the world economy at large.
That's something to, you know, I guess we all got to be aware of 2019, our spending in the economy, and, you know, let's see what 2019 brings for us all. Geez, Tim, you know what? We're just about out of time now, and I know you're not feeling very well, so I think we can wrap this up a little bit earlier. And can you tell the people there your website and how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, my website is shakesaspear.com. I am going to be publishing my magnum opus this year. It's called Shakespeare's Codex, All the World Staged and We Are Merely Played. Probably it'll be out by the spring. I'll be working with the editor quite closely. Other exciting things are in the offing as well with film production, and my Shakespeare film is in post-production, and there's plans to shoot another film in the spring. And once we managed to find a distributor for the Shakespeare film, we can get a tax break, which will allow us to proceed with the next production, which is to do with the Titanic and what really happened with another fraud of history. And then I'm going to be working on a screenplay to do with the sinking of a U.S. naval vessel by a foreign country. And I won't get into the details at this point because it would be imprudent to do so, but let's just say that I will be basing the screenplay on my friend who's my editor, and his book is the basis in terms of the research material for this screenplay. And I'm told that once it's complete, that he has a contact that will put it right into Donald Trump's hands. So could be quite an amazing year if all turns out.
Well, thanks a lot, Tim. It's been great talking to you, and hope you feel better. And for land's sake, don't take no vaccine.
Definitely not. I think probably the people who did get it have spread this contagion to me. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, and all the best in the new year, Tim, and we'll be talking to you very shortly.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much. Good to be on with you, and let's do it again. Okay, bye.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. You've been listening to Cosmic Horizons Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and thanks a lot for calling, and good luck in 2019.